Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the second day of April, year 2023. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Overcome the World. We dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the broadcast. Prinhanda, which means good afternoon. Cumriambeth, which means Wales forever. And Yakida, which means cheers or be in good health. Interestingly enough, in the ancient Hebrew language, Yakid is their word for beloved or blessed. And we've talked about the fact that the Welsh language is the closest modern-day language to the language spoken by our ancestors for the last 5,000-6,000 years. Many proofs for that. We won't go into that today, but just let it be said that that is a fact. So when people point to the imposter Jews and the language they speak, which is Yiddish, and they'll claim that they're speaking Hebrew, it's, again, the devil in the details. That's a lie. So if you want to hear the language of our ancestors and the beauty of the Welsh language in song, you can go on many websites now that it's available and listen to the, I think of Charlotte Church, who's a lady, a young lady over in Wales, has made CDs and all singing worship songs in the Welsh language. Beautiful, beautiful music. But anyway, if you want to hear what it sounds like to hear the language of our ancestors, then listen to the Welshmen. And forget about the Jews. They're speaking a bastardized language made up of ancient German with a smattering of some Slavic words and other languages in there, much like they themselves are bastards made up of different elements of what used to be pure, and they are no longer such. So they pollute pretty much everything they touch, and same thing with the language, same thing with the script, the block Hebrew you see today, and people say, oh, well, this is the ancient language, and they show stuff in block Hebrew. Well, block Hebrew was an invention of the Jews. Actual ancient Hebrew is pictographic, much like the Egyptian hieroglyphics. In fact, there's a correlation between ancient Hebrew and the hieroglyphs of Egypt. So, again, the devil's in the details. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and we do ask that you go there from time to time, especially on the Daily Mail page, where we try to keep current events and also other pertinent information like prepper information, health information on the Daily Mail page. If for some reason email is not getting out and you don't hear from me, that's probably where you can go and find out whatever I'm coming across. I will have it posted on the Daily Mail page. If you do not have my contact information, the personal stuff, you can go to the Contact Us page and send me a note. I'll be sure to get it. Some of the old adages that we like to talk about here, the one says, do not be afraid to fail. Be afraid not to try. That's the problem we have today, okay, while we're talking about being overcomers. Overcome the world, because the world is somewhat lazy, apathetic, complacent, acquiescing to evil, etc. So don't be afraid of failing. Be afraid of not trying. And also, life does not give you what you want. It gives you what you work for. Again, today people are quite lazy and not paying attention, not doing what they should do, and then wonder why the world is against them, things aren't going their way. Well, yeah, What are you working for? Many people want somebody to do it for them. That's why the government is so powerful today, because we've had several generations of people that thought it was okay to sit on their asses and let the government give them handouts that they were stealing from the working people of America. There was a day when a decent white man and white woman wouldn't accept that kind of, quote, charity or entitlement. They were too proud. They would either work for it or do without. How things have changed. A couple quick definitions, since we hear them being used quite a bit. Dystopic or dystopia, which is the world we live in, a state in which the conditions of life are extremely bad, as from deprivation, oppression, or terror. Yep, we live in a dystopia. The word humble, marked by meekness or modesty, not arrogant and not prideful. So we want to keep that in mind. Also, we're coming into the time of the Passover, which according to some calendars starts on the 6th of this month. We want to remember that, as Richard Ford, who used to be on our program quite frequently, we used to talk about the purpose of the feast days. They were memorials, basically history lessons for our people when they got together at the feast, but they were also dress rehearsals for things to come. So the Passover, of course, is marking the time when the Hebrew children in captivity, which our people are captive to this world system today, and they were preparing to be led out of that captivity. There was the death angel sent by our Father to destroy. And so they covered their doorposts with the blood of the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and the death angel passed over the homes that had their houses so marked. Well, today, of course, looking to the future, we have the death angel passing over, and it's looking for those to destroy, and the ones he will not destroy are those who are marked by what? The blood of the lamb. Figuratively and literally. Figuratively, of course, meaning you have a relationship with Yahshua HaMashiach, which means you also have a relationship with Yahweh the Father. Therefore, his blood covers you, and therefore the no need for the punishment of the death angel or the punishments coming on this Babylonian system as spoken of in the book of Revelation. So we say hallelujah to that. And again, you want to overcome the world, you do it through Yahweh. A lot of people think they can do it in other means, but I'm telling you, that's not going to happen, okay? It should become pretty evident today that serious things are going on. I mean, just look at the, I mean, what's going on today makes the chemtrail situation look minuscule. But the chemtrails and poisoning of our atmosphere, water, food, and our minds has been going on for a very long time. It's kind of interesting. The financial system is on the brink of collapse. It's by design, of course, but it's been scheduled for quite some time. And we've talked about it on this program, and many people thought that we were crazy because they used to write to me, and when you talk about a financial collapse, well, it hasn't collapsed yet. No, they've been talking about it for years. Well, so did the prophets of old. When they warned the Israelites about coming doom, stiff-necked Israelites were famous for saying, well, it didn't happen yet. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, if you'd have been listening 20 years ago and taking precautions, you would already have some foodstuffs put away. You would already have some precious metals put away. You would already be invested in some tangible assets, whether it be land or food production or whatever, something beyond the control of the beast system, you'd already be there. That's the whole reason for the prophets talking to the people, was to give them a warning so they'd have plenty of time to get ready. It's the Johnny-come-latelys that are panicking. That's why he said, overcome the world, be an overcomer. That's what the whole story is about. How to overcome this sick, dark world we happen to live in. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not part of this. Be ye separate. Is that not the commandment? Be ye separate from this world. So anyway, depending on what calendar you're going by and what your local group or even just within your own family, what you've decided to make your Sabbath day, your day of rest in the coming year, we are into the new year, of course, which starts around the time of the spring equinox, which this year was right around March 20th. And so 14 days later, somewhere around the 6th of this month would be the start of the Passover. Now, remember, they were memorials, but they're also dress rehearsals. A lot of people get caught up in the ritualistic observance of the feast days, and they forget about the fact that it is a memorial and a dress rehearsal. Just like the people that get caught up in the, quote, English translation of Scripture. You're missing the point. He's not requiring us to memorize, as that one preacher used to brag about memorizing 10,000 Bible verses, Jack Van Impe. And yet he had memorized 10,000 Bible verses, but he didn't have a clue about what the Bible was actually telling us. You see my point? So just memorizing verses doesn't get you anywhere. You're supposed to learn the principles. That's why you read them like books, the way they were written on scrolls. No chapters, no verses. They just were written much like we would write a novel today or any other kind of storybook, so that you would read it from start to finish and pick up the story, pick up the principles that were taught within that book. Not sit around and go, well, like Jack Van Impe, I've memorized 10,000 verses. Everybody look at me, how great I am. Really? That's funny. You're not teaching anybody about his laws, about race mixing, the food laws, and we wonder why we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Another good saying that you don't hear too much anymore, when the government fears the people, we have liberty. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. And of course, Henry David Thoreau with, there are 1,000 hacking at the branches of evil to one who is striking at the root. So for every 1,000 people out there, their arms flailing and crying about the conditions of the world, you only got one that's got a hatchet over there chopping at the root. That's your identity, people. They're sitting there chopping away at the root, because we all know that when the tree of evil comes crashing down, it's going to be because we have chopped with truth bombs, truth tomahawks, truth hatchets, been chopping away at the world that's built on lies by our enemy, the Jew, and their lapdogs. A lot of people say, well, Dan, it's not just the Jews. I know it's not just the Jews. They have a lot of people doing their dirty work for them. But again, if you dig to the root of this tree of evil, you will find them there. And their accursed money system. It's this Babylonian money system that has given them the power to do what they do. I mean, you look at every evil that we're dealing with today, and they have bought and paid for somebody. They bought and paid for the staff officers at the Pentagon. They bought and paid for your congresspeople in Washington, D.C. They bought and paid for your congresspeople at the State House. Okay? It's their money system that's allowing this. How is it that Bill Gates, a piece of shit Jew, is able to buy up hundreds of thousands of acres of good farmland while you and I can't hardly afford to stay in our single family dwelling Because the filthy, rotten Jew has the money system, and they make sure other Jews are given plenty of electronic digits to do their evil deeds. Look at Soros and all the rest of them. How are they able to buy district attorneys with their Babylonian money system? Because people care more today about money, even though it's a fiat currency, even though it's all digital, even though it can disappear in the blink of an eye, they will literally sell their soul. Military have done it. The police have done it. Your teachers have done it. Your doctors and nurses have done it. Your historians, your authors, your neighbors, your friends, and sometimes even your own family. All for a dollar. Or as the scripture says, that the lust or love of mammon or money is the root of all evil. So the corollary to that is, if you want to undo this evil world, you lose your love or lusting of their fake money system. The good news is, a lot of people are starting to realize that. And they're trying to create alternative societies, alternative economies, alternative forms of currency to barter with one another. That's catching on right now. Many of our brethren are looking into creating homesteads. I would really appreciate prayer as I'm looking into forming a trust to allow people to donate either land and or financial means into this trust, that we can obtain property in this country somewhere in order to build our community that we've talked about, the ARC project. So again, keep that in prayer so that we can go forward with this mission, because I'm being contacted daily about our brothers and sisters around the world, actually, but very strongly here in the United States, that they want out of this system. They want to be with like-minded people. They want to build something. They want cleanliness. They want clean thoughts, clean clothes, clean food, clean water, which we don't have right now. Everything is polluted. The artificial fabrics that's in our clothes, the artificial, we talked about it, wool. You buy something made of wool and it's ugly and scratchy and detesting. I used to have a sports jacket that had wool fiber in it, and I hated wearing it. Hated it. It was so scratchy. And then you come to find out, if it was made from real wool that's not treated by a Jewish clothing garment industry, it's extremely soft and very comfortable to wear. It's like everything. If you're eating real food, you're going to have health. You're going to have energy. You're not going to have your ailments and your problems. If you know the real scripture according to what Yahshua taught when he walked this earth, and Yahweh told us through his prophets, you don't have these problems. You can overcome this world. I myself have endeavored to be an example for my family, my friends, and for the identity community by living the word. I've tried as best as I have been able to do it for a long time now, ever since I've learned this truth, because it works, and I'm trying to convince others of that. It works, people. Yahweh's for real. His law is for real. It works. You can overcome this world if you have faith. People thought I was crazy by obeying the food laws. Oh, bacon is so good in the morning, and shrimp and cocktails and clams and oysters and lobster and all. Oh, Dan, how could you give all that up? you're crazy. It's meant for food. I said, no, it's not. I trust what the Bible is telling me and also what they taught us in the natural health classes I took, which coincidentally matched up with the food laws almost perfectly. I remember the day the instructor even said that about rabbits. You know, a lot of people say, well, you can eat rabbit. Rabbit's an unclean food. The instructor told us why, because of the parasites that are in their bodies. Okay, again, we keep finding out, even though it sounds crazy, even though the whole world wants to do something different and they want to be in opposition to our Father, that if we obey Him, we are truly blessed. We can overcome the diseases, the ailments, the everything that this world brings, the depression, anxiety, animosity, hatred, arguments. All those things are a result of this upside-down, topsy-turvy world we live in because it is, quote, Antichrist. It is anti-Yahweh. And so we, therefore, must be on the other side of that. We must be the ones who have the faith and march forward. And as he said, be ye overcomers. And we got some verses we're going to go through here in just a minute and talk about all that. In the meantime, though, these different shooting events, I hope nobody's buying into that because they're all psyops. They're all staged events, okay? Please tell me, nobody here, nobody listening to this program is buying into that crap. We know that they are psyops. Mike Pompeo, back when he was part of the Trump regime, pretending to be on our side, he talked about the fact that while he was with the, I believe it's the CIA, he was trained. He was paid to go to school to learn how to lie, to learn how to present to you and I falsehoods and make it look, quote, believable. Now, who trains people to be a deceiver? Righteous people or evil people like the Jews and the Mossad who make war by deception? So I ask the question for the folks out there that still have their MAGA hats on and are Trump followers, who does that? Yes, I know it would be really great if there were white hats, if Q was for real and all this. But folks, who does that? I keep asking the question. Who operates in the dark? Who operates by deception? Now, we do know all war, and we are in a war, is deception. But you have to remember something. The deception within the ranks is to defeat an enemy. And right now, it's difficult to decide who is a good guy and who's a bad guy. That's the problem. The first casualty of a war is the truth. Okay, that's an old adage that goes way back. The first casualty in any war is the truth because both sides are practicing deception. So what do we have left to go by? Well, what Yahshua said, judge them by their fruits. That's the only thing I have to go by, the fruits and the methods that I see. To me, when you are in a situation where everybody's trying to deceive everybody else for one reason or another, that's when the overcomers stand up and hold up the banner. Remember, Yahweh told us that I want to see a banner raised for my people. What's a banner? Okay, if you're a student of history like I am, you'll know that in ancient times, they didn't have radios and walkie-talkies and such things. They didn't have any electronics. So on the battlefield, a general signaled his troops on what they were to do using bannermen, men that would hold up certain shapes and sizes and colors of flags called banners that would signal the sub-commanders in the field on what to do with their troops. Banners were also carried to show whose side you were on. What army did you belong to? Who were you holding your allegiance to? And Yahweh wants a banner raised for our people in these dark days. Many of our people are starting to realize the seriousness of the problem in the world today, and they're looking for banners. They're looking for signs. Who can I trust? Well, the answer to that had better be the people of Yahweh. Because if you're not trustworthy, then you're not his son or daughter. That's the way I look at it. Plain and simple. People should look to you and say, that person's different than the world. That person is a light in a world of darkness. I can trust that person. And then you'd better walk the line. As my father used to tell me all the time, Daniel, if you betray a trust, you may never get it back. But even if you do, it is going to take a very long time. Wise words from my father. Wise words, backed up by scripture and life itself, empirical evidence all over the place. Betray trust, it's very difficult to get back. Very difficult to get back. So even Robert David Steele talked about the fact when he was in the government that he helped set up false flags and deception of we the people. So our government, we call it government, but they're actually bandits, is in the process of deceiving. And so what is the sign? What's the fruit of this so-called government at both the federal and state level? These politicians, these bureaucrats. Remember the definition of bureaucrat right out of Webster's Unabridged Dictionary sitting on my shelf here? The Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary? A bureaucrat is a public official who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. Right out of the dictionary. Basically, they follow their quote, procedures. They do what they're, quote, told without intelligence. So when somebody is called a bureaucrat, that's not a compliment. That's basically saying you're a stooge. You're an automaton. You're a little robot for whatever entity is putting money or shekels into your pocket. You're not a real person. You're a cardboard person. A bureaucrat. So again, these shootings are all psyops, and the purpose of the psyop is to get you to turn against weapons. Now, they know they can't win with a true patriot, and certainly not with identity people. We would never, ever surrender our means of self-defense. Never. What they're trying to do is get all the normies out here, these cucks and soy boys and girls. They want to get them to believe that we are the problem because we're armed. Okay, you can see the stage that they're setting here. They're going to try to turn them into an army to come after us because the evil people don't have the resources, folks. They don't. Oh, I know, they've got all these electronic shekels and they can buy off engineers and technicians and military people and police. But even with all of that, they don't have enough. And so they've got to use their artificial intelligence to tell them, because they're not intelligent people. These evil people are actually quite stupid. So they want the artificial intelligence to tell them, what can we propagandize these normies, these mushmelon head people out here? What can we put into their silly little brains to turn them against the part of the society that will give us trouble? And that's what they're doing with all these psyops, these psychological operations, these staged events. All of these shootings are staged. Whether people actually get hurt or not, that's not what we're talking about. They're staged productions. And who are the greatest stagers of artificial scenery? Hollywood, and who runs Hollywood? Jews. They're masters at creating illusions, whether it's on a TV screen or a movie screen. You have to overcome all that, and you have to show other people the truth of the matter as far as what these creatures are doing amongst us. So don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. We've got psychological operations going on like everywhere today, okay? We have to overcome all that. We've got to overcome the food thing. They are poisoning the food at an unprecedented rate. They're trying to cut back on the quantity of it, but what's left, they almost completely control. The corporate, communist, Jewish deceivers, they've got quite a bit of control, but not total control. Not total control. And so they're going to use their control of the food system to go around the obstacles as far as the jabs and the other poisons that the pharmaceutical companies have come up with, because they've already poisoned the normies out there. They've already fallen for the lie. So they've got to figure out a way to get us poisoned. Well, the next best thing to do is poison your water and poison your food. They have the control mechanisms to do that. So we, as overcomers, have to realize that that's what they're doing and find our ways around that through proper filtration, finding natural springs and wells, digging your own well if you're on property that has that, etc. Okay? I was blessed to be raised on a farm in central Pennsylvania that had absolutely crystal clear spring water that came right up from the ground. Our tap water came right out of a spring. It was ice cold, and it was almost sweet to the taste. It was so clean and pure. Real water, as Yahweh creates it. You know, I've heard for years, I don't drink water, even though we're supposed to drink lots of water to help our bodies stay healthy. I don't drink water because it tastes like crap. Well, that's the local city water. Okay? If it's being produced in some sort of water treatment, get it? Water treatment facility, it probably does taste like crap. That's why I have not drank water coming from a spigot, I would say, probably almost my entire life. Because I took one sip of that tap water and it tasted like crap. And so I've been drinking spring water, bottled water, filtered water, purified water from good sources my entire adult life. I knew that they had polluted it. When you get around real sources of water, the water tastes almost sweet. I remember I went to see a friend of mine in South Carolina, and he lived right on a very large lake. And he had a dock, and we went to the end of that dock, and all of us went swimming. And I remember jumping into the water, and of course the water gets on your face and drips down on your lips and all, and you could taste the water. It was sweet tasting. So you knew it was a freshwater lake and it was not polluted. So again, if we get back to our Father's ways, it's not hard to do the right things. It's hard now because the enemy has polluted everything. They polluted the airwaves. They polluted the movies. They polluted the schools. They polluted the churches. We live in a cesspool. The good news is it's so ugly, so dark, so demonic that even normies are starting to wake up. Hallelujah. It's about time. But all the more reason why you folks are the banner carriers of this age. You have to be the lighthouse in the storm. That's the whole purpose of a lighthouse, is to help ships that are coming in towards the harbor so they know where the land is in the middle of dense fog or storms. Or if it's a very, very pitch black night, the lighthouse is the beacon that gives them a sign of where to go, a sign of safety. It's a good harbor. You see the analogy there? That's what you and I are supposed to be, lighthouses in this dark world with Yahweh's truths. Some of the verses that I picked out to cover all this is John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Which means that if he's overcome the world, then you and I have overcome the world. You and I do not have to succumb to these creatures that crawl around us, these scumbags. 1 John 5:4, for everyone who has been born of Yahweh God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith. You know, when I was in the natural health classes learning about this almost 30 years ago now, as I was learning all that stuff, these verses would come to my mind, because just like Yahweh's truths, you can tell people about it, but if they don't really believe it, which is what faith means, if they really don't believe it, they're not going to implement it. And if they don't implement it, there's no blessing. The same exact thing could be applied to the teachings in the classes about natural health, the food laws and intermittent fasting and doing a 1, 2, or 3 day fast from time to time to allow the body to heal. All those things require what? Faith. If you left the class and you didn't have faith in what you learned, you didn't implement it, and you did not get blessed. If you did practice what we were taught, the result was much better health. So those of us that have been through the classes are living testimonies to the fact of what they taught us about the foods of the world and natural health were right. Just like the truth of Yahweh, our Father in heaven, the Creator. If you and I have faith, then we will walk according to its dictates, and you become a, quote, testimony to the fallen world around us that Yahweh is true and his teachings are truth. If the world does not see that difference in you, then you are not the overcomer that he expects. You are not the beacon of light in a very, very dark world. Romans 8, verse 37, know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Wait a minute. What did he just say? Blessed is the man or woman who remains steadfast under trial. It's another way of saying being an overcomer. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which Yahweh God has promised to those who love him. Does it say he promised it to the world? Does it say he promised it to the Jew? No, because he gave a qualification. To those who love or revere, or you could say obey him. That's a small subset of humanity, folks. The crown of life to those that were promised it, who are those that loved him. Remember when Yahshua said that, if you love me, obey my commandments. Yahweh in a flesh body. A lot of people still have problems with that. Oh, there can't be. No. Yahshua was a completely separate entity. Really? Really? How does that work? How does any of it work if that's true? Doesn't make any sense. If you love me, obey my commandments. Oh, Dan, that just means love everybody. Well, wait a minute. We just read where it said he's going to give the crown of life to those who love him. Well, there's a lot of people walking this earth that don't love Yahweh the Father. Well, they may give him lip service, but what did he say about folks that give him lip service? He will vomit you out. The lukewarm, the lip service people, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Depart from me, for I never knew you. Never knew you. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from Yahweh God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Living proof of those words all around us every day, isn't there? Amongst the brothers and sisters of this message. 1 John 5, verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yahshua is the Wihos, that's the Greek word that we interpret as son, of El, Elohim, God. Wihos, by the way, doesn't necessarily mean a direct lineage son. See, that's where English falls terribly. Terribly when making translations like this. There should be a footnote in our English Bibles for this word, taking you back to the Greek and the fact that it is not necessarily talking about a son as one of my blood sons versus sons that are descendants or brethren associated with weos in the Greek. Weos. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Wow, the one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with Yahweh Father God on his throne. Again, an analogy, speaking to people who cannot understand heavenly things. A lot of people say, why? Well, why did Yahshua use pater, the Greek word for father? Pater, father. Okay, he used it because he was talking to people that could not understand the things of heaven. They couldn't understand simple things. How are they going to understand complicated things? We are as little children, just as he said. How are you going to understand how he can transmute, incarnate himself from the other side here in a flesh body? How do you understand that? When you can't figure out how to tell good food from bad food, you can't tell how to discern lying pieces of shit in the media and the government, but you're going to be able to figure that one out? That's why I said I speak to you. I treat you as little children in a sense. In the sense that little children, when they come to you, do you teach them the higher things of this world? When your little 3-year-old or 4-year-old crawls up on your lap and asks you questions, do you start trying to teach them quantum physics? Do you try to teach them calculus? Of course not. Why? They don't. There's no way they could comprehend that. You and I are like little children to him. He's not going to give you the higher definitions and the more explicit information about how things work, because you and I really don't even have the ability to comprehend it. 1 John chapter 5, for everyone who has been born of Yahweh God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Yeah. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yahshua, again, is the Weos of Yahweh? Revelation 3:5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Life eternal promised in Revelation 3 here to the one who conquers, clothed in white garments. What do white garments symbolize? There's no dyes. There's no adulterating of the fabric. It is pure. all of your dross has been burnt away. Psalm 27, verse 1, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah for King David. 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares or is concerned for you. Isaiah 41:13, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. Hallelujah. So I said, in this day and age, why would anybody want to try to overcome this world without Yahweh's help? Now, we'll open up the phone lines here in just a little bit. So if you have comments or questions, rewrite them down so that when that time comes, you can call in. James 1, verses 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Be steadfast. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of Yahweh God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the adversary. Yeah, your English Bibles put devil in there, but that's because that's their word for diablos. But what did diablos mean to the people that wrote the Greek scriptures? Diablos meant an adversary, a demon. Their version of a demon or devil was anybody that's an adversary. Adversaries. Your adversaries come in all kinds of shapes and colors. They walk amongst you. Some of them are even related to you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your Elohim God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in Yahweh God with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. What's it saying there? Make straight your paths. I don't know about you folks. I grew up in the country, and you go taking off through the woods or go up to a mountainside and start climbing up that mountain, I'm going to tell you, you don't take a straight path. There is no straight path in through the wilderness. You take the path of least resistance, which is going to look like a snake. You're going to be cutting over and backtracking sometimes because the thickets and the brushes and thorns and the trees and all are so thick, there's no way you can get through it. So you have to go around it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when he says he'll make your way straight, your path straight, it's like somebody coming into the woods before us. Guys, when I was a kid, we'd be taken off for that mountainside. Whoa, wait a minute. Let me make your path straight. And he takes a great big brush hog, and he just cuts all that brush out of the way. So now you can walk through easily in a straight line, quick and easy. Do you see the analogy? He can make your path straight, because right now we're all zigzagging because of all the roadblocks, all the lies, the deceptions that are out there, all the false teachings of scripture. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will straighten those paths out for you. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for Yahweh, your Elohim God, is with you wherever you go. One of my dear friends sent me a t-shirt not long ago with a face of a lion on it, and it's got Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 on the shirt. Be lions today, folks. Be lions. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Just the opposite. Good. Every time you tell the truth, you put a dagger, you're shooting a silver bullet into your arch enemy. Every time you do a good deed, or any time you tell a truth about any particular subject, you're sending darts, you're sending missiles at the enemy. All right, I want to start unmuting here, so if anybody's got anything, Ellie, you're in control of yours. Lane, I'm going to leave yours off because you usually just go through the chat. But anybody else that's on the line, if you have any comments or questions, now would be a good time for it. Anybody out there want to say something? No? Okay. Let's see, nothing in the chat either. Well, maybe everybody's doing pretty good here. I'm looking at some of these other verses I've had. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. They put churches here, but I wouldn't darken the doorstep on a modern-day church. To the congregations of true believers, to the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. Uh-oh, wait a minute, hidden manna? And I will give him a white stone with a new name written on that stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. You're a new creature. You're a new creature with the Father. Revelation 12, verse 11, and they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Now, that doesn't mean Yahweh wants you to be martyrs, laying down your life silly for this system out here today. No. What he's saying is that you're willing to do the right thing irregardless of the consequences, even if one of those consequences might be your death. But we certainly don't expect that. We certainly don't wish for that. And we certainly don't lay down and let them just simply walk all over us and take our lives. Revelation 2, verse 26, the one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Ethnos, the other peoples, authority over all people, this earth. Revelation 21:7, and one who conquers will have his heritage, and he will be his God, and he will be my son. And I see, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his Elohim God, and he will be my son. So you'll be a son of God, correct? Pretty much what Revelation 21:7 is saying. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, that's how we got into this position, right? The churches and the people in the churches, the people at large, no longer loved the truth. They wanted the soft words. They wanted their ears tickled. Don't tell me the truth about COVID. Don't tell me the truth about the pharmaceuticals. Don't tell me the truth about the Jews, because then I would have to take a stand. Then I would stand out. And I want to be just part of the crowd of sheep out here in the pasture. I don't want to be noticed by anybody. We no longer cared about the truth. Let's see here. Second Timothy 1:7, for Yahweh God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. All right. Again, that's pretty much everything I've got for this morning. I'm still collecting a lot of news. As everybody knows, some of you are on my contact list. If I get anything of note or great value, I will certainly either contact folks by email, by phone, and I certainly would post it on the website, PastorDan.net. In the meantime, a lot of things are going on. I believe many patriotic circles are saying that anything could happen in the very near future. We are on the precipice of some rather big changes, and you can sense them even with, if you didn't have an internet. I mean, you can kind of sense it in the air. You can sense it in the way people behave, the way they look, the way they talk. And we know something big's coming. We know they plan on bringing down this economic system. You know, you better be praying for the Father to intercede on our behalf, because it's not looking very pretty. You can't trust the New World Order. You can't trust the cabal. You can't trust the, we should have known that for years. You can't trust corporate America at all. The very fact that people form corporations is antichrist. It's anti the teachings of our ancestors and our fathers. Corporations are not good. They're no different than the central banks, centralized religion, and large central government. They're all in the same boat. It's called centralization. When you centralize, you're up to no good. My son works for a factory that's owned by, they make dog food and different things like that. I'm trying to think of Purina thing. It's a big one. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Schmuckers. And they just got recently bought out by Post, you know, like Post Cereals. A giant corporation just bought up a smaller corporation. And what does that mean? More control over the production, even of food for your animals. They want total control. You see, the Jews only have a small number. And the people that they can trust or that they will give any authority or power to is a very small number. And that's why they need the corporate structure, which is a top-down way of doing business. Everything in Yahweh's world is bottom-up. The power is at the bottom with we the people. Very little power is given to the people at the top. Very little. That's why the biblical monarchy works, because the monarch is not all-powerful. He is just the central father figure of the people. That's all. The power is at the local level, just like when Moses led our ancestors out of the Egyptian bondage. People say, oh, he wasn't all-powerful. They just agreed that, you know, he's got the right idea. We're going to follow him in through the desert, and we're going to trust him. But he wasn't all-powerful. Now, was he a judge? Yeah, he was a judge. So if at the local level you had disputes, then you went up through the ranks. A chieftain was the head of 10 families. Chieftain, get it? Ton is the old English word for 10, chieftain. So if the chieftain couldn't settle the argument that was between members of those 10 families, they went to the guy above them, let's say a precinct captain, who was in charge of the several chieftains, 5 chieftains, let's say. So that's 50 families. And if he couldn't settle it, they went to the centurion, the one in charge of 100 families, 100. If they couldn't handle it, it went to 1,000. They couldn't handle it, went to the chief of 10,000. It was quite a few iterations up the ladder before it ever got to the monarch or the leader called Moses. That's how Yahweh's system works. Almost everything in your day-to-day life should never leave the neighborhood. And let's face it, folks, in our neighborhoods, like the places I've lived, most neighbors get along okay. Very few times. Well, take, for instance, this community. Let's say this community was all Israelites where I'm at. It's got a wall around it. It's a gated community because there's so much crime. Within the gated community, you settle the arguments between neighbors. But if you can't, you go to the office manager. Now, does the office manager come down and sit on your doorstep every day dictating your day-to-day life? Absolutely not. You see the office manager when there's a violation and you don't fix it. If you're playing loud music disturbing your neighbors, the neighbors are going to go over and say, please turn it down. Now, you're not going to see the office manager unless you refuse to comply. If you refuse to do the right thing and honor your neighbor's wishes, now the manager comes in. That's how the monarchy works. If you don't listen to the office manager, she calls the corporate office, and the corporate office will send a vice president down to have a discussion with you and probably evict you out of the neighborhood. Do you see how that works? Everything at the local level. It almost never goes all the way up to somebody at the state level, and almost never, ever, ever would it go up to what we call the federal level or the monarch's level. You look at the history of monarchies, the monarch did not get involved in a whole lot of business. He really didn't. On a day-to-day basis, he was not involved with a lot of what goes on at the little village level. That's the idea, but the Jew does everything opposite. He wants all that power at the top, and everything going on in your life is dictated by that demon, that monster in shoe leather, that adversary sitting at the top of the pyramid. That's their vision of the world, which is what? Anti-Yahweh, anti-Christ, anti-white, anti-male. They cannot control us unless we acquiesce to this upside-down pyramid that they have created. It's probably how they came up with their symbol. They call it the Star of David. By the way, Arthur Koestler in his book tells us that the David that symbol used was not the David of the Bible, but it was a Khazar warrior by the name of David, and that was the symbol he put on his shield. So it has nothing to do with biblical people at all. And yet people, oh, it's the Star of David. See, they're the Bible people. The Jews themselves will tell you that's bullshit. That symbol is not from the biblical aspect. But the Jews use it because it represents two triangles inverted, 180 degrees out, one pointing down, one pointing up. So if you figure they took the triangle of Moses' way of running things and inverted it upside down. So all power's at the top, and you and I have almost nothing. We have little say in our day-to-day life. All the power's up there with the kikes at the top and all the people that take their electronic shekels. Do you see how that works? They just simply inverted it, like they invert everything. Okay? They took our ancient Hebrew and they created script called block Hebrew, and they're telling you that's the alphabet that our ancestors used. That's a lie. It's upside down. No, it's not. They speak Yiddish, which is a bastardized language, and claim that it's Hebrew. And is that true? No, absolutely not. And yet the real ancestors or the real descendants of the Hebrews, the Welsh, the Irish, the Scots, and all of us with those bloods in our veins, those people don't even know that they are Israelites. They don't even know that the Gaelic languages they speak are based on ancient Hebrew. They don't even know it. And yet the imposters speak a guttural, bastardized language, and they got the whole world thinking that they're the people of the Bible. How stupid. that Yahweh has blessed them, even though they curse Yahshua, they curse us, they curse the Holy Scriptures, because they follow the Talmud. They worship the devil. And yet the whole world thinks they're, quote, godly, blessed people. Do you see how silly everything is? Everything is what? Upside down. Again, why they are so enamored with the Star of David. By the way, the blue and the white colors of their flag go back to King Herod. Babylon. That's why the Israeli flag has the star with the two white stripes. It represents the two major rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates in Mesopotamia, which is the home of ancient Babylon. So their very flag, if you understood history, would tell you that these are the people of Babylon, not Palestine, not our ancestors, certainly. They concentrate everything in Babylon. By the way, the word Mesopotamia is Greek, our ancestors' language. Meso means between, potamus is rivers. So Mesopotamia is between two rivers, exactly where Babylon resides. Okay, I don't see anything in the chat, and I don't believe anybody's got anything, so I'm going to go ahead and close it up for the day. And there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things below the radar screen in my own personal life here, as many of us are trying to get out of our current situations onto some property. Again, please keep that in prayer. I plan on starting a trust probably within the next 2 weeks. And there'll be some trusts for other things, other projects going on. But the Ark Project, the idea of that trust will be to follow the example of some people I know in the country that have done similar things already. And that's how they did it, and it was very successful. So we're going to give it a try. It may not work, but many people have contacted me that they want to move into an area with like-minded people. And no matter what happens, okay, again, we have faith in our Father. Because the first thing out of everybody's mouth is, well, if you have a community, they're just going to come in and kill you. Well, yeah, that could happen. They can do that to you in your home, couldn't they? What's stopping them? They already know who you are. They track everything you put on emails and phone calls and everything else. They know who the hell you are. Do you live in fear that they're going to knock your door down? So if a few of us got together on a community property, you think that all of a sudden is going to trigger them to come in and destroy you? I got a question for you then. Why are the Amish still here? Okay, I grew up in Amish country. Amish are still living exactly the way they have for hundreds of years. They're fine. Okay, they're still here. I'm sure their people told them many years ago, well, you better go the way of the English, you know, because you Amish stick out like a sore thumb. They're probably going to send the redcoats in there and kill all of you. I'm sure they were told that. In fact, our founding fathers were told that. You know, the British, that's the best army in the world, and they got the best navy in the world, and they're the richest country in the world, and you guys don't stand a snowball's chance in hell of winning independence. Really? So our ancestors were fools then, right? In the case of this radio show, when I started 23 and a half years ago, oh, Dan, you're inviting trouble. They're going to bust the door down. They're going to shoot you. They're going to poison you. They're going to... Yeah, they did try a few things a couple times. Nothing that drastic. But here again, what does he just say in Scripture? Faith. Faith is the calling card of an Israelite. And the fact, like, General Stonewall Jackson told his Confederate soldiers in the Civil War, duty is ours, the consequences belong to God. But duty is ours. You and me, duty to do the right and honorable thing. The consequences be damned. That's why the Bible says it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil. Okay, if harm is going to come to you, it's much better for you if you're doing it, if that's coming into your life because you're doing good rather than evil. And remember, not doing something is considered just as much of a sin as doing something. Okay? If you don't do the right thing because you're afraid or whatever, that's just as much as a sin as the person that's doing the evil, because you did not stand against it. You didn't do what you're capable of doing to resist it. And that doesn't mean throwing your life away. It means you've been given tools, whether it's the ability to speak or write or create graphics or to have a show or whatever tools the Father gives you, you use them for righteous endeavors. That's what He wants from each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to reach out and discuss things with our brothers and sisters around this world. We know it's dark out there, very, very dark, not much truth, a lot of deception, a lot of lies, a lot of psychological operations. We just pray You'd help us to see through it, and as we see through it and gain knowledge and understanding of how the enemy works, give us the ability to reach out to our brothers and sisters everywhere and teach them so that they in turn can teach others and have that wisdom and that truth that You have percolate through our people, that we rise up as a people and stand against this hell that's being created by Satan's kids. And I use the word Satan in the sense of adversary. They are the adversaries of all that's good on this earth. And Obadiah at verse 18 tells us what the solution is, Father. Help that solution burn into the psyche of our people, because we know the day of the sword is not that far away. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do, to Thy glory and for Thy kingdom, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this all in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.